Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, listeners. Welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and today we are talking our Round 8 waiver wire pickups, trades, skippers, and things we've noticed throughout the round. And as always, is on the show, Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing very good, Jono. Emotional week at the Fizz household. I've shed a tear. Baby Fizz has dropped the magic. Yes, it's finally happened. Celebratory drinks will be at my house. She's slipped over in the bath, landed on her bottom, and just dropped the F-bomb. And we've stood there smiling, and she's just proceeded to just let a string of them go, very happy with herself. Clearly impressed with herself at discovering this new word. I've looked straight at Mrs. Fizz and said, she's got it from you, but I was a very proud father. So happy days.
You are not known to be the biggest of swearers. I have noticed that, Steve, but you have been known to drop the sweet Jesus or the, you don't mind the religious cursing.
Well, that's actually a funny point that you bring up, Johnny, because earlier in the day I was playing with Baby Fizz in the backyard and she tripped over and she went, oh, Jesus. And I'm like, that's one of mine. That's what that is. But the F-bomb, it was a proud day. And it was much like listening to our fellow co-host, commentator, women's grand final, actually.
And speaking of our fellow co-host, we welcome to you, Statesman, and please do not be dropping the magic tonight.
Piss off, boys. Still dreaming of the perfect weekend. I had to walk down.
Having a win in the Keeper League?
Yes, I did, but still dreaming of the perfect weekend. So I had to walk down to Salamanca and enjoy a long lunch with Mrs. Statesman, and enjoyed a bottle of Pinot. Or four, just to recover from the frustrations that have been fantasy football this weekend. So it's fair to say, in my things that I noticed this week, there's a slight personal touch involved, just a little bit this weekend. But anyway, it's been a very stressful one, but there has been some joys along the way as well.
And speaking of injuries and news coming out of this week, well, there wasn't too many, considering most of the stars were either late outs or just dropped throughout the weekend. Anyway, if you're a Bont or a Cochin owner, like yours truly. But Luke Shuey, he's gone down with a ham bone injury. Looked pretty high up on the leg, so that could be a pretty serious one there. We'll have to wait for the boys and the injury reports throughout the week to give us a full prognosis there. Wayne Miller also done the ham bone. He was playing pretty good off the halfback there for the Crows. And Dion Prestia, we know he's pretty injury prone, and he's gone down with a calf injury as well. So, again, just waiting on the prognosis for that. And big Levi Casbolt took one right in the ribs and spent the night in hospital and had to actually spend a few more extra days in Adelaide, and we don't want to wish that upon anyone. So, oh, get nice. Better, Levi.
Whoa, Adelaide's a lovely place. What are you talking about there, Johnny?
It's a Victorian joke. You know that, Steve. Come on.
Oh, love our South Australian brethren.
We certainly
and
do.
And sisterin, whatever the hell. What would the female group of brethren?
Brethren. That's both. Like,
is it?
We'll have to.
Yeah, we'll get tweets about that.
Yeah. Teach us English, listeners out there. And if you want to tweet us in, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. We've got the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au as well, and check us out on the Facebook. But we are going to talk about the things we notice throughout the week, and why don't you kick us off, Steve?
Well, there was a lot to notice this weekend. Matty Cruiser splitting a bit of ruck time with Sauce Phillips, but I got the feeling when the second best Kerno comes back into their team, it's hard to see Cruiser, Phillips, the second best Kerno, and McKay playing in the same team. So I actually think Cruz might be an okay trade option. He had a little bit of a lower score, so certainly one I'm looking at. But just the Cruiser owner might be a bit panicked and with a few low scores, but it was more of a split role, and I can't see that continuing, but certainly did notice it. Jed Anderson, he is playing some good football. Only 28% owned, so one for the waivers there later as well. But he's averaging over 9 contested possessions a game, playing off the wing. I love that. Pressure axe coming out his butt, hitting the scoreboard. Only just played his 30th game, so he's been around forever. But to me, that's something to pay attention to. I always love the guys who play on the wing, who can actually win their own footy. That's something I really notice. So certainly a bit more super coach relevant with all those pressure acts as well. But Jed Anderson playing pretty well. And that's about Mason Wood putting it all together and putting the Swans away. I don't mind saying that as well. Paddy Ryder was back. Very, very limited time on ground. Now, we know there were some concerns about the surface over at Optus Stadium. It was harder than my head. And up against the Nicknat Lysette combo, probably wasn't a great day for him to be in the ruck and risking further injury. But he did return. So again, he might be another good trade target. Maybe the Ryder owner didn't notice the low time on ground and saw just a bad score. Maybe they picked up someone else. Jono, I know in our league, the Ryder owner picked up Callum Sinclair. And
a better option.
Well, doesn't it? Like, there's a bit of spare currency floating around. Absolutely. So yeah. And, Hoff, it was mentioned Hoff would get a bit less time in the ruck. He did pinch hit in the ruck. He was the backup option. And he actually went into defence in the second half of the game, but I think that was more just a game flow thing. Nick Haynes was the loose man for GWS in their game. He will be a little bit up and down in his scoring, but certainly when he gets that role, he is capable of putting out a big score. Lockie Keefe was the man splitting ruck duties with Jonathan Patton, but they need Rory Lobb back and in a big way. It's a big problem there. I know Reece Stanley was a late in for the Cats, and I plucked him up, Jono, and played him, and he duly got me a ton. I was very happy with that. Jack Graham, a lot of opportunity through the midfield for Richmond, so maybe it was just part of Cochin being out, but we know Prestia got hurt today, so that's something to look at, whether he can continue that sort of role in scoring. And just steel side bottom, it just looks like he's moved out. We know he was playing inside mid through the early part of the season. Looks like he's just pushed out to the wing, although we know Pendles has gone down today. But over the last couple of weeks, we've certainly seen Steel move back to a more uncontested game. He's not pumping out those 130s that he was earlier in the year. So if you've got steel side bottom, I mean, maybe you're comfortable with him averaging slightly less, but maybe you can sell him at a high average. But certainly did notice those positional moves.
Thanks for that, Steve. And what have you noticed there, Statesman?
Straight kicking is good footy, gentlemen. 20 goals between Brisbane and Collingwood at half time of this weekend's match makes for entertaining footy. I think when we first hooked up, the first thing you said was, is there any defensive part of this game? And to be quite honest, who cares when you can enjoy footy like that? 10 goals straight to 10 goals three was the score at half-time, and I think they finished the game at 19-7 and 18-6, so a little bit wayward in the second half when they're getting a bit more tired. But whilst on the same day, Richmond and Fremantle had a combined total of 19 goals, 29. So I know which type of footy I would rather watch and enjoy, and that's the free-flowing, spectacular, nice close game as it was. 7 points between Collingwood and Brisbane Lions, and I suppose the reality is coaches are paid to win games of football, and they see the defensive mechanisms there. But isn't it nice to see free-flowing scores, both on the scoreboard and fantasy footy? And the classic one is our good man, Dane Zorko, who's just pumped out a 175. And forgive me if I'm wrong, but in AFL fantasy scoring, that might be the biggest score for the year so far. But that's quite remarkable. As soon as you stop putting the tag on people, you can see them play great footy. So I quite enjoyed that. And certainly, if there's a few more games like that each week, I'll certainly enjoy it too. Another thing is he started very slowly, and bit of help from injuries, of course, but Jack Redden is now in great form. 120 last week and 138 this week, and I think now he should continue his form. We talked about Luke Shuey having a ham bone, I think that means he'll be out for 3 or 4 weeks. So I think that Jack Redden will be in great form, at least up into the bye. Well done if you picked him up on the cheap in the last month or so. And maybe he's a sell target for the next few weeks as well, while he's scoring quite well. A little bit unsure what his role's going to be once they get closer to a full list, because we saw him probably shaky scores at the beginning of the year, but certainly while he's getting the midfield time and the inside midfield role, he will certainly score well. Take away the tag and the great Zorko is back, Steve. What do you think of him this week, buddy? You love him or you hate him, so you own him, but you also played against him.
Well, isn't that the joy of fantasy football when you play in multiple leagues? To be fair, in the league where I have him, I was only playing Jono and I absolutely buried him, so Dane Zorko could have scored another 50 and I would have been fine. But yeah, and as a Collingwood supporter, made me very nervous when he kept kicking goals. But thank God Jordan DeGoey's 5 goals.
So it makes you think he will always be a risk for the tag, because obviously the tag works. So if you're really under threat and you're that type of coach, then the tag is going to Zorko because it works.
Well, it was actually interesting because we've got so many questions this week from listeners about Dane Zorko. And looking at today and his next 3 games, it was a block of games where the teams either don't run a hard tag or midfielders can often get off the chain against them. So the matchups were good for Zorko. So I sort of said, you know, this is a great time to hold. So if he pops out a couple of good scores in this 4-game block, then I'd be looking to ship. Because before you were just selling it at peanuts. Now you can actually get some sort of currency.
Yep. Absolutely. And then I've got a couple of personal ones. This is fantasy footy's crap. It's the worst game ever. Every single move I made this week went to crap. Although I am talking about the wrong hashtag brand, but it was a tough week. And my last thing that I noticed this week, what a great weekend. Every move I made in draft just worked for me. The trades, the waivers, the pickups, the bench options, the captain choices, all worked for me, and I won every single matchup I had. Now, isn't that a stark contrast to everything that's happened for the weeks previous? The first 6 weeks, hashtag wrong brand, I was just slaying it and I couldn't get a thing right in draft. It's just reversed. So that is why I'm looking for that perfect weekend where I can sit back and say I'm in the top 100 in every format and I've won every draft league. At the moment, I can't say that, but it is the dream and I'll keep on working and keep on researching to see if I can make that happen.
Isn't that an interesting thing? Like, I think about the owners out there who are struggling, you know, like yourself, Statesman, maybe they're 1-5, they're 2-4, they're thinking the season's over. It can, a couple of right moves, you're back on track. Like we always say, you don't win the you don't win your league at the draft, and just takes a couple good moves, doesn't it?
It does, and what I might do here is just try and use this opportunity, Steve, if you want to call up your keeper league, and we'll see if we can do a really quick live trade here. Now, I looked at your team. I looked at your team, and thought at the end of the day, you need midfielders for your keeper league.
What are you talking about? I've got Adam Chera and Dane Zorko banging out once.
Yeah.
Don't forget Bailey Dale there.
Bailey Dale's actually... did I just drop him? I just dropped someone.
No. Oh, did you really? Just then?
I dropped Josh Jenkins and got Jed Anderson.
Oh, okay, yeah. So what I'm looking for is that there's 3 options here. We can look at someone that's scoring well, but the reality is I'm building, so I want to find a keeper. But there are 2 others that have got potential. So seeing I've got a truckload of midfielders, and we're looking at the second tier, so I'll talk about the ones up for negotiation, is Aaron Hall. Or if you want to go the lesser players for your defenders, we can talk about a Trent Dumont, who is a... potential long-term keeper. What his ceiling is, I'm a little bit unsure, to be honest. Cunico, who's certainly scoring a bit better than your Plebsville ones, but is not a huge bright light, to be fair. Or a Sean Griggs, seeing like your older ones that missed this week, but certainly underperforming.
Mm.
Only averaging the 80 over the past 5 weeks. So certainly he's underperforming. So what would you like to discuss as your options?
I don't know. What did you notice this week, Jono? Who was the first guy? Aaron Hall. Sarah. He's not even getting picked.
Yeah, no, exactly
that's,
right.
But that's a hard sell, isn't it?
No, no, but you can package
him up with Barlow.
Well, you can have Aaron Hall and a Trent Dumont for one of your defenders.
What defender?
Give him Finlayson.
No, it's got to be someone that I want. No, well, I don't think he'll want to give up Gunston. I'll probably...
He might even lose his defender. He'll lose his defender status anyway, you'd think.
Yeah, you would think so.
Well, he will.
Have any of those midfielders of interest to you?
No.
Okay, that's fair enough. Well, that's the end of the discussion then.
The top thing I noticed this week is Jack McRae has to be in discussion to be an uber premium. He's taken his game to another level this year, averaging 122 in both AFL Fantasy and Supercoach. That's changed with his kick-to-handball ratio going more in favour of his kicks and more marks as well. So I think the Trader Boys also flagged the possibility of him getting that pig status. Keep an eye out on them as well to see if they do give him that pig status. The Giants, they need to learn how to win in Melbourne if they want to be a flag favourite or win a flag at all. When they come down here to Melbourne, they produce some pretty putrid fantasy scoring. So we saw Cogs, who'd been in hot form, go under a ton for the first time. And that's linked to the next part in Jonathan Patton playing as the sole ruck pretty much for that game. He is not a ruckman. He was getting towed up by Reece Stanley, for crying out loud. If Zach Smith played that game, he would not have even scored the 60 that he did. He's a key forward. That's it. Leave it at that. And just play a dedicated ruckman. We did see Timmy English go up against Jared Witts on the weekend. Yes, he got spanked in the contest, but at least he gave a contest. And when Tom Boyd went forward, they put Dunkley in, which was just absolutely putrid as well. Maxi Gawn, this guy is absolutely on fire at the moment. If you've got him in any of your draft leagues, he's got to be your perma-captain now. Just ultra reliable. He's not getting tagged. I think Steve will talk in our group chat that he won't get tagged. He can go forward, kick a few snags as well. He's getting plenty of free kicks because opposition teams just do not know how to play him. So if you've got big Maxi Gawn, you are laughing all the way to the bank with that. Moving on now, we've got our waiver wire pickups for the week, and it was a bit of a tough week this week. And when we do talk about our waiver wires, we use Ultimate Footy ownership in 65% or less. So that way, if you're playing the deeper leagues, you've got a bit of a chance to snare these players. And I'm going to kick it off this week with Sammy Wright from North Melbourne. Played his first game on the weekend in about two or three years in just 15% of teams. Really liking how the Roos are playing and setting up at the moment, and they're using him off the back line is really good. Big Mason Wood as well, playing his first game in a while. Kicked the 4 snags on the weekend, took 9 marks in 36% of teams. Just really straightening up that forward line there, taking the pressure off big Benny Brown, and can push up into the midfield. I'm a big fan of Mason Wood. Statesman, one of your guys you've been talking about the last couple of weeks, Tom Cole. I've kept an eye on him and just been waiting to see if he can just repeat the fantasy scores, which he has been in 60% of teams. Really liking what Tom Cole's been producing, even in the keeper leagues. I think he's only 18 or 19 years old, so good long-term prospect there. And Melbourne players, they've got some plus matchups in the next couple of weeks, playing Gold Coast Suns and Carlton. So if you can snag yourself a James Harms, who's taking centre bounces this week against the Saints, or a Spargo, a Fritch, those sorts of players, they can bob up and kick you 2 or 3 goals and get you plenty of points as well. Harms is 63% of teams, and Spargo's just in 30%. Steve, who have you got there in your for your waiver wire?
Well, just before I get to the waiver wire pickups, Jono, there's something I've been meaning to roast you about. Joe Danaher, what did you do to him?
the warning curse on him. Any player that we've picked so far have just turned to absolute crap. So I think I'm going to pick more Essendon players for a fantasy BNF so they go crap forever.
Fantasy best and fairest. I'm over here doing victory laps for Jesse Hogan, and Joe Danaher is going to be doing laps at the seconds.
Yeah. In the twos.
It's bad times for him. But anyway, onto the waivers.
That is some bad juju.
My number one waiver, and it has to be, he's a forward. He plays for West Coast. His name is Mark Hutchings. Get on this guy. He's a goal-kicking midfielder. Absolutely blew it out of the park. Shuey's gone for a while. Dom Sheed might not come back. 59% ownership. I love it. Get around it. Second up, I've got Jed Anderson. This is a forward. 28% ownership. I mentioned all the stats before. Winning the contested ball, kicking goals, pressure acts, getting the pill. Loving his work. Tom Boyd, 55% ownership. If you need a ruckman, he's banged out 70s the last 2 weeks. Playing Brisbane this week. I mean, come on, get around it. Tommy Boyd's set for a big one. Blake Hardwick. So I'm throwing a couple of crap scores. Well, the Hawthorn, you were scoring well as a defender, and Hawthorn decided to mess around with playing him as a forward. That experiment's ended. He's gone back into defence. He's only owned in 50% of leagues. He's scoring well for you. Nice defensive option, I think. Blake Hardwick. Benny Ainsworth, Gold Coast Suns, forward. Only owned in 22% of teams. Midfield time this week. Okay, no Braden Fiorini in that team. Getting up the ground. We know he's a goal kicker, can lay tackles. I certainly like the upside there. He might just be a stash, but I think, you know, he's a top draft pick. So certainly think some chances there for the young Gold Coast Suns. And just last, James Stewart. 22% ownership. Scored you the 76 Dream Team, 95 Supercoach this week, if you don't mind. Playing Carlton. So start licking your chops there.
Cha-ching, cha-ching. And what have you got there, Statesman, for your waiver wire pickups?
Yeah, just two to add on. First one is Aaron Young. I know he's been mentioned quite a few times, but hit form again this week. He is a bit hit and miss, so he's one that you probably want on your bench, but the right matchup and he's going to score well. Got another ton this week, averaging just over 70, is only owned by 47%. But Bailey Fritsch is the one I really want to talk about. 21 years of age. We just talked about Melbourne's run over the next couple of weeks. He's gone and changed his role. Firstly, his first incarnation for AFL footy was as a deep forward. But as the forward line is filled up, he's actually become a link player. So he's actually moved up the ground. So the last 2 weeks has been exceptional, an 88 and a 91. And that was after having a week off. So we all thought he was probably gone. In the salary cap formats, he disappeared out of most teams. But he's really hit form. So we're talking averaging 80s over the last 3 weeks, which is absolutely superb for a forward only owned by 20%. So that's Bailey. Get on hold of him for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's because Hannon's coming to that team and playing that lockdown forward, which has freed Fritsch up. So there you go. And if you are liking the show, you can follow us on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud. If you've got a few minutes, just hit that 5-star button and leave us a review. We really appreciate it. It really helps the brand out, gets us up there. So if you've got a couple of minutes, leave us a review. We are much appreciative of it. But now we're going to be talking, Steve will be talking about a couple of trades that he's eyeing off this week. What have you got there, Steve?
Yeah, I've got a couple of trades, and unfortunately, it's a position I don't like trading, and that's the ruckman. But Paddy Ryder, I mentioned it earlier, he's come back, he's played very low time on ground. But we know he was the number one ruck last year. He was number two ruck, difference-making ruck. I think you can get him on the cheap. He's just come back from injury, the owner's a bit worried. Played low time on ground, the score looks terrible, but I think he's got a lot of upside. Port are going to need him to make any sort of run to the finals. And also, I like the fact that he's going to play all three bye weeks. You know, we often, you know, that's where, you know, you can really shuffle up and down the ladder if you play the bye week. So I think he's a really nice option there. And I also think Rory Lobb, we know Lisa Ford status, mate. They need him back at the Giants in a big way. I don't like trading for injured players either. But to me, I just think it's going to be a real nice cheap buy opportunity on Rory Lobb, sort of out of sight, out of mind for the owner. He might even be floating around in some shallower leagues pools. But he isn't far away from returning, we're led to believe. So I certainly like the option there. And a sell option, gentlemen. You were just talking about the Melbourne players coming in and out. Sell Christian Petrarca. Mate, Jack Viney's about to come back into that team. Dom Tyson's fit. Bernie Vince is in there. All the guys are in and around that mix. Christian Petrarca, he's going to be stuck on that forward flank doing God knows what, giving you 60s and 70s each week. I know the low score doesn't help you today in terms of selling, but the average is not bad as a whole. So I think and he's a big name. We love the brand value. So he's someone I'm certainly looking to move. I actually own him in our home league. Hopefully none of them listen to the pod. God damn it. Why do I always talk about my own
pod? They don't. They don't.
Yeah, they shouldn't. So I think CP5 is a pretty nice trade option, and maybe you'll let one of the other owners get bitten on the finger.
Quite possible. I think it's weird that they're going to bring Viney straight back in with no VFL or even build-up.
You've got to think he's got to play a game of VFL. I think that's wishful thinking from Viney.
No, that was from the coach. After the game today, he's coming straight back in.
I think he's good. I don't know if he's that good. I don't think he's a Gary Ablett Jr. good.
He needs some sort of conditioning, you would think.
Yep, agreed.
And if you've got a West Coast Ruckman next week, they're playing the Giants, so you'd want to hope Rory Lobb gets back in. And moving on now to the Statesman Skippers, where he's going to give us a Captain Risky and a Gun option with the matches coming up this week.
And obviously we try to look at the captains that not everyone's going to have. You're not going to have Danger, you're not going to have Titch. So we were trying to look, especially if you went for a defender in the first round, you might have a couple of guys that you're tossing up to. So we try to look for the different ones. So firstly, we look at the loophole. So this weekend, the Friday night match is Hawthorn and Sydney. Kennedy has returned to form, had a bad run for almost a month, but he's hit 2 tons. So he's got to be your gun. And for the risky option, just for the pure enjoyment and the ride of the Jekyll and Hyde story, it's James Sicily. Will he be reported? Will he get a kick? Or will he have 28 marks? You just never know. So if you got James Sicily, I think it was 135 this week, just put the big V on it and enjoy the ride. Our Captain Risky for the week. Now, it's very rare that we discuss options for the Carlton Footy Club, but they are up against Essendon. So it's sort of the lesser of two evils in reality. Essendon seem to be giving up a lot of points, and one man's really ready to tear up a game. He already has a couple of big scores this year. It's Ed Curnow who is my Captain Risky against Essendon, and I think he will tear it up. And I don't think there's too many in the team that can actually do it. It's really only him and Paddy Cripps. So Ed Curnow is my Captain Risky for round 8.
I don't know if you saw it this week, Statesman, but on Facebook, Steve put up a Simpsons meme where there's Homer in the bath and Bart standing behind him with the chair and Link's commentary and listeners. But one of our listeners, Matty Rendell's, put one up about you. He's got Homer Simpson in the bath. It's just listeners there. And there's Bart Simpson with Statesman's Captain Risky just ready to whack the listeners over the head there. So it's on the Facebook page. So he might not be happy. He might have used one of your Captain Riskies.
Burned. Oh,
that's
no,
how I'm reading it. So.
That's why they are risky. But I will say I'm hitting more than I'm missing at the moment. And one of my Captain Riskies today was the great Zorko himself, been in shocking form, averaged 66.5, was the Captain Risky and pumped out 175.
All right, that wraps up the show for this week. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on the on Twitter at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. Search us as The Draft Doctors on Facebook and check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got articles dropping Monday to Friday for your viewing pleasure. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.